Cameron Hartfrabar.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 159 for the weekend starting 25 November 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat Black Friday.
Do we have to? But don't worry, there's plenty else this week. Like MTN vowing to take market share from Vodacom, but can they? And Cell C's BEE shareholders suing it over the planned restructuring. Plus, the mystery around the SA Connect broadband tender, and much, much more besides.
Let's get the rubber on the road.
Oh, welcome, sir. How's it going?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. Shall we kick off with our quiz?
Yeah, let's get into it.
First question, yes.
Why is Black Friday called Black Friday? And no, it's not because the sales get people down with black eyes.
It's actually an interesting answer to this question.
Yeah, yeah.
The second one, who is the disgruntled shareholder in Cell C that has reportedly filed papers to try and stop the restructuring of the mobile operator? And we'll talk about a bit more about that in the show today.
Third question, Liquid Telecom, which is in the throes of buying Neotel, has raised how much money in a syndication loan?
Fourth question, the first episode of Amazon Prime Video's The Grand Tour was set in the US. Where is the location for episode two? And we're looking not for the country, but for the city.
And the last question, who said this week, we were focused because when you read the Bible, all people didn't believe that Jesus Christ was there to save them. I'm here to save South Africa, and I've already demonstrated that I can save South Africa.
Wow. We'll get to him a bit later in the show, but shall we kick off with... Let's kick off with our beer. What are we drinking?
So you actually provided this, yeah.
I did.
I mean, and I've never had it, which is always a nice treat.
It's always it's always difficult to pick a beer because Richard's a... how do I describe you?
Just a beer fan.
A beer connoisseur. and I think you've drunk sampled most of the craft beers that are made in this country.
Yeah.
So I'm quite chuffed I managed to find one that you haven't tried before. It's called the Wishing Well Robust Porter. And
by Backwards Bean Brewery, yeah.
Backwards Bean Brewery, and they're based in Mabaneng Precinct, according to their website. It's a nice beer for the weather.
Oh yeah.
Which is, as you can probably hear in the background, pouring with rain, and lots of lightning and thunder about. So a very wet afternoon in Johannesburg, and so a porter, of course, a nice dark quite a heavy
bitter beer.
Ale. Very British, I think. Very British drinkers. They'd probably drink it lukewarm, but ours is nice and cold.
Yeah, it's got nice flavour. I mean, it's not overly powerful, you know, with various flavours, but it's nice and dark, malty, a little bit of chocolatey notes in there.
Definitely, definitely.
But yeah, it's some of the kind of beer that I would love to try and tap.
Yes.
You know, the fresher the better, but... Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the description on the website. They describe the Wishing Well as descending from the 18th century brown porters of England. It pours a deep, dark brown with a creamy head. Brilliant rubies show themselves when held up to the light. Don't know about that. It's a bit dark today's check. The roasted malts dominate the aroma, creating an enticing combination of chocolate and coffee. You can definitely taste the chocolate.
Yeah.
These roasted characters carry over into the flavor, which is, again, a burst of chocolate and coffee. These are supported by mild to low hop bitterness with balanced caramel sweetness and hints of nuts. The medium body and low carbonation make this ale an utterly drinkable one in hot and cold weather. I'd say it's definitely a cold weather drink, this.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And what would you give it out of a 10?
Look, I've had better porters, without a doubt. But just taking another sip here, I would say 6 or 7.
Yeah,
it's nice and drinkable.
I was going to say 7 as well. Yeah.
But if you want something that's out of this world, you know, that's going to really blow your mind, that's probably not going to be it.
No.
But it's a nice beer. It's a nice porter, well worth checking out.
Have you tried the chocolate-infused milk stout from South African breweries?
I have, and I have had many of chocolate-infused stouts. I'm also a big fan of Castle milk stouts. If you are a fan of that kind of beer, it's well worth, when you have the opportunity to go at the SAB World of Beer, or at the SAB head offices, at least in their bar, they've got milk stout on with nitrous. So similar to what you get with Guinness, it's nitrous pump, not oxygen pump.
Yes,
it just gives it a better head. It's delicious, absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I would actually go as far, and I know this is a controversial statement. And we must get on to the tech because we're not the beer show. But I know this is going to be controversial, but I'd actually go as far as to say that Castle Milk Stout is the best beer that South African breweries makes.
Yes, I would agree with you on that. It's certainly the only SAB beer that I drink continuously, or at least a lot of. I agree with you on that one.
Anyway. So while we sip this lovely, it's called the Wishing Well Robust Porter. Look out for it in the store. It's got a lovely label of a Wishing Well on the cover, sort of a yellow and blue background. It's a very nice label. While we drink that, let's get into the week's tech news. And there's quite a bit to talk about this week, and I suppose we do have to talk about Black Friday, because it's all that anyone on social media seems to be talking about over the last 24 hours or so. But I must say, I went as a curious consumer onto just about all of the e-commerce websites that I knew of, and there were dozens of them locally, and I was quite disappointed.
Yeah, South Africans don't know how to do Black Friday, because most companies and don't understand the concept of a full-on Black Friday sellout.
Mm.
It shouldn't be kind of a 10% discount. It should be a 50, 60, 70% discount. Exactly. That's generally what makes Black Friday...
It's stock clearance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get rid of the stuff you don't sell and sell it at a ridiculous price. Don't give us a 5 or 10% discount. It's not the same.
Mm.
I did see one or two deals that I thought was worth it. We spoke about it before the show, the WeChat Incredible Connection Xbox One deal.
Yes.
For $1,999.
That was amazing. So I was just saying to Rico before the show, that's the one thing I was actually interested in, because $1,999 for an Xbox One is basically free.
I was tempted.
And so they said, we'll tweet the what do you call it, the QR code.
Yeah.
On our social media platform at 9 o'clock. I was busy with something and I forgot about it until 2 minutes past nine. I went, took a picture in the WeChat chat app, and I was number 1,500 in the queue. So,
and there were only, 200?
There were 200 available. So, I think that your chances of getting a deal like that is next to null.
I did find, and this is American deals, but I find generally on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, a lot of... And you can hear the thunderous roar in the background.
Yes, quite a dramatic backdrop to this week's podcast.
Yeah. it's absolutely wonderful view from here, though. But what I always like about this time of year is a lot of the online services and software, you can really get good prices. A lot of those guys discount the software and the software licenses 70, 80, 90% sometimes. So
Steam has a great sale on at the moment, for example.
Yeah. Xbox also has, Microsoft have a whole bunch of games on their platform that you can get for
a
steal.
That. Yeah. Xbox,
So I generally buy software licenses more than anything else, or at least online cloud services or plugins for any of my websites and that kind of thing.
Right. But lots of deals internationally, that's for sure. So go check those out. But unfortunately, the local sites, I don't know.
Yeah, well, look.
20% off on some crap you weren't going to buy anyway.
Exactly. But also, we're not really, I mean, I guess we just piggybacking off what the rest of the world's doing online, in terms of getting the eyeballs to this to those sales. But,
Yeah, and it's an American phenomenon, this. I mean, it's you're right. It's stock clearance, really.
Mm.
You go to... stores like Best Buy and Walmart and all these places, and they're getting rid of stock and they're selling stuff at 80% off, and you find stuff in there that actually, at that price, I'll take one.
Yeah. If you're an educated shopper and you kind of know what you're looking for, especially on the tech side, what is a good buy and a bad buy, you can get some really incredible deals.
But as Hilton Tarrant wrote on a piece we published on MoneyWeb, on Tech Central from MoneyWeb this morning, this really shows that. The fact that Black Friday is so huge this year compared to other years, I think shows just how in what a bad state the South African retail industry is currently in. They're latching onto this thing that isn't South African. They're really pumping the hell out of it to try and get people into stores, hoping that they might buy something that isn't on sale.
Look, it's a marketing tactic 101. You see what works well in the rest of the world. The last 2 years, that I've been involved in some industries on the retail side, it was a slow uptake. A few guys did Black Friday, but this year was certainly a lot different than the years before. Lot of virtually all the shops, all the malls, at least one shop in the vicinity would have a Black Friday sale or something.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly Black Friday sale.
Anyway, the Black Friday is normally a physical retail store thing, and the online retailers latched onto it in the States and they called it Cyber Monday.
Yes.
So I don't know if we're going to see all the Cyber Monday deals coming out in a couple of days. I'm currently recording this on a Friday.
Yeah. That would be good to see if we get some software deals online. I mean, that's generally where Cyber Monday comes in.
Yes.
But it's good fun, I guess. But did you see the crazy videos online of I think it was Checkers where people stampeded into the front door?
I heard about it. I heard about it. I saw something on News 24 or something ridiculous. About it.
Well, just to get discount on dishwashing liquid.
Oh, it's crazy stuff. But I suppose consumers are under pressure and they're keen to get a deal wherever they can get a deal.
Yeah, exactly. But better luck next year. Better chance next year, I think. Yeah. Maybe the retailers will actually get to understand what this is about and do it properly.
But I think the trick is, especially in our game, in tech, the trick is not to really look at these local retailers, but see what some of the international guys have on offer.
Oh, yeah.
And you can ship. You can ship some great stuff from the US now through services like Amerex Global Shipping and these other global shipping things. We were talking just now about how eBay now takes care of all the customs issues, custom payments and stuff on your behalf. And ships it to you on priority shipping, so you're looking at like maximum 10 days before you get your product.
And then it's worth, if you're getting a deal, then it's still worth paying $700 to get that expedited shipping. And I'm a big fan. I'm going to be doing some couch surfing this weekend just to see what's on eBay.
Yeah. The one thing that's amazed me, and I sent out a tweet about this last night, they've got a lot of attention. What amazes me is how some news sites, I'm not going to mention any names, but how some news sites, every time any company announces any Black Friday deal, they write an article about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is advertising. Is
it newsworthy? No, that must be advertising. I mean, why would you? There's no editorial story there.
It's not. There's no. You shouldn't be running it. It's free PR for the company. And if they want to know about it, then they must take an ad. But no, the website, it's not just one website. I'm not picking on any one website.
Yeah, no, there's been a few of them.
There've been a couple of news websites that have been publishing this every bloody press release that comes out about some company having a Black Friday deal. Gets published as if it's has any editorial credibility whatsoever. It drives me crazy. Anyway, won't see those on Tech Central.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, let's move swiftly along.
Let's move on.
Have you watched the Grand Tour yet?
I have not, but
you
I
haven't.
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Oh man, you're missing
out. I'm going to do it this weekend. I haven't had time this week, but I need to go check it out. But I believe you can you can watch it on Amazon Prime. There's a free version that South Africans can sign up for.
Yes, I believe so. I that's not how I watched it. Let's not explain any further. It is on YouTube. You can watch
it's
it on YouTube.
YouTube.
It's
yeah.
on YouTube.
Yeah.
Someone put it on YouTube. It may have been taken down by now, but you could as of yesterday watch it on YouTube.
What do you think? What was
I like
what
it a lot?
Like? I mean, were they,
I like it a lot.
Back to good old days.
Oh yeah, I think it's the thing is, you take a gang like this who've clearly got a very good formula going.
Yeah.
And you get them to do something new on a new platform. The risk is always that that it's not doesn't live up to expectation. That Top Gear was a great show.
Yeah.
The Grand Tour is better than Top Gear, in my view.
So it's basically like they kind of broke free from whatever limitations they had, and
exactly.
now producing what they can do. They're
exactly.
basically putting the shots in and making the program that they want to put into the world.
They obviously, Jeff Bezos and the Amazon team are not going to let them do anything they want, but they've got a big budget and they clearly have a long leash. It's very clear they've got a big budget. I don't want to give away too much, but the opening 10 minutes of the first episode are quite spectacular.
Oh, really?
Apparently, they blew $2.5 million on the opening 10 minutes.
Sure.
Paying homage to the Mad Max movies.
Oh, wow. Okay,
it's spectacularly good, set in the deserts outside California. But it's very good. And the second episode, which is broadcasting tonight, we're recording on a Friday, so many of our listeners may have, in fact, already watched it by the time they listen to this episode, is set in Johannesburg.
Oh, nice, yes. And they were last year,
yes.
doing a big
tour. Earlier this year, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it earlier this year?
Yeah. And from what I can tell from the spiel or the pre-marketing, they're going to put the tent, each episode is centered on a tent. But they've done a film in Namibia, in the Namib Desert,
on
the Skeleton Coast. And that's one of my favorite places in the world, so I'm really looking forward to seeing this episode.
So I will sign up for Amazon Prime.
I'm going to do exactly the same thing as soon as it launches, assuming the price is reasonable, which I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to compete with Netflix.
But I think there's a whole bunch of free stuff that you can watch already if you sign up.
I believe so.
Not all the titles that they have. But, on the Amazon Prime, just on a side note, I've been noticing a lot of Netflix originals on my Netflix account. And
yes.
it's quite impressive to see the number of really good relatively unknown shows. I mean,
on Netflix.
On Netflix, okay. Yeah. I mean, I've picked up a few ones and started watching them and was pleasantly surprised. Mm. So, you know, it's not always about the big name shows and big name actors that you go off to to see what or to actually enjoy. You know, these series. So
as soon as my fiber goes in, which is now apparently going to be sometime in December. I'm going to be. I've already subscribed to Showmax, but I'm going to subscribe to both, all three of them actually.
Yeah, I think that's. I've come to find that that's the best way of doing streaming service. Have the lot.
You spend about $350 a month.
Exactly.
Then you've got access to all of them. Still half the price of DSTV.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I don't watch a lot of sports. I don't know about you.
No, not really. Look, I mean, I would love Super Sport for the Springbok rugby games. That's really the only thing I do.
It's not worth $850 a month.
No, not worth anything near that.
Yes.
So. Yeah, let's hope one day there would be some solution, but look, you can find a streaming game here and there online.
Yeah.
Not Indeed. Ideal always, but you can do it.
Yeah. But I'm impressed with it. It's a good show. I think in places they were, as the rain really comes down, they were trying a bit hard, I thought. A bit forced in places, but overall it was very good, and I think that as the episodes go on, they're going to be more relaxed. And they're a team that works well. I suppose it depends if you like Jeremy Clarkson or not. He rubs up a lot of people the wrong way. So,
that's why I enjoy watching him.
I think he's great. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good stuff.
So I had a fascinating interview last week now with the CEO of MTN, Mteto Nyati, South African CEO. And he's talking up a really good game. You know, MTN has been in a lot of trouble over the last 3 years. They've lost market share to both Vodacom and Cell C. They've they've had internal problems, industrial action, violent strikes. Remember those pictures of the strikers outside the head office?
Yeah.
They had a massive turnover of CEOs. I think they had three or four CEOs in the space of 3 or 4 years. And Mteto Nyati does seem to be bringing some stability to the top of MTN now. And now he's talking a big game about taking the fight to Vodacom. He said they've been taking market share in the contract market, which is what they focused on for the last 4 months now. And he said that that's their focus now, is getting those high net worth individuals. Vodacom really has sewn up the high end of the market in terms of contract customers, big spending customers. And they say the fight is on to get those customers back. And it's early days. MTN has had all sorts of customer service challenges. They've had difficulty getting handsets into the market. But he's done a lot there. He's outsourced the call centers, or partially outsourced the call centers. There have been a lot of retrenchments, which can't be great for staff morale. But I think Vodacom has become very dominant in this market, and it's good if a strong competitor like MTN starts to, you know, you can't afford a weak MTN in this market, because it just means a strong Vodacom, and a Vodacom able to hike prices and to dominate the market even more. Now, you know, I love what companies like Cell C and Telkom have done, but they really are minnows, especially Telkom. And they've done some great things. You know, that Telkom Freemi package is absolutely fantastic. For the price you're getting, you spend $600 a month, you basically get unlimited data and voice calls.
Nice.
But MTN hasn't really felt like it's been in this fight for the last while. And I get the impression, while it's still early days, that they're gearing up for a fight. And I think that's good for consumers.
Let's watch the space.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I've been a long-standing MTN customer, and to be honest with you, I've never experienced any of the issues, support issues or anything. I mean, I guess I've just upgraded at the right time and got my device without any hassles, and I've been pretty happy. Incidentally, I've actually, you know, on the odd occasion that we go away to certain places, you know, for a week in a way, here and there.
Yes.
It's a Vodacom customer that generally have the problem with connectivity in the remote areas of the country, and MTN doesn't seem to have the same issues, at least the places that I've been to.
So they've spent over 20 billion rand on their network in the last 2 years, in 2015 and 2016.
Oh, yes.
Have you noticed a significant improvement in the network quality?
I have. I actually ported my wife onto MTN.
Oh, yeah. From which network?
From Vodacom.
Okay.
Mainly because I'm using the Afrihost kind of data, and also I signed her up through the Afrihost SIM card deal.
Okay.
And I find the quality between the two handsets is much better now.
Okay.
LTE is incredible. I mean, I get 14, 15 megabytes generally everywhere I go.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yes, see, I haven't had anything to complain about, which, you know, might not have been the most amazing service, but I've never had a breakdown. I've never had a problem. So, from that point of view, I would say they've been marching on. But it'll be good to see them getting more aggressive. I think it's overdue.
And when you go out of the cities, how's their broadband coverage?
Dropping down to a 3G. 3G is still very good. I mean, yeah. I get everything.
What you
I
don't
need
want
to.
Is 2G.
Yeah, what you don't. And I've never dropped down that far. It's either no signal or some signal. I did a 10-day tour with some motorbike guys about 2 months ago, and went through some rural parts of South Africa and. Yeah. Apart from the places where there was no signal, I was very impressed with the coverage I got. You know, there was one place we went in, it was called the Hell in Gamkasdorp.
Oh, yes. I've never been there. I really want to go there.
It's incredible. Mm. There's no signal there, obviously, but that was the only place that I had any issues, really. Mm. So I was impressed. I mean, I could work all the time. I could upload my videos from anywhere I was. It was good. I was very happy.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, there's no cell phone signal. It really is DL.
Yeah. It is DL, yeah.
Anyway, we need to take an ad break. We'll be back right after this.
Hello world. Hello information. Hello uploads and downloads. Hello streaming videos and low latency. Hello blogs and vlogs. Hello crystal clear video calls. Hello increased productivity. Hello online learning. Hello cloud. Hello long lost friends and missed connections. Hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef?
Beef, please.
Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to a cold, wet, rainy, thundery Johannesburg afternoon, which is perfect for drinking robust porter, which is exactly what we're doing this afternoon.
Going down. Yours is almost done there. Did you bring reserves? Or
I didn't, unfortunately. I should have brought some
bad
more.
Bad form. I always bring two, so you need to step up again.
I do. Very poor form. Right, let's get on with the tech news. So, Cell C, as you know, Rachat, they're in the process of this massive restructuring at the moment, Blue Label Telecoms. Which is an incredibly successful JSE listed company. I always struggle to describe what they do. They distribute airtime on behalf of the mobile operators, but they basically provide virtual airtime money type services. It's very difficult to actually describe what they do, but they do airtime fulfillment. They sell prepaid electricity. All of this stuff, and they're a very successful business. They're worth tens of billions around, listed on the JSE, and now they're buying 45% of Cell C for R5.5 billion as part of a massive restructuring that's going to see Cell C's net borrowings reduced from, I think it's around 18 to 20 billion rand now, I stand to be corrected, to below 6 billion rand. So a massive restructuring, Blue Label share price has moved up, more than doubled in the last year, on the expectation of this deal and an alternative investment for shareholders in the telecommunications market. And I think investors are looking for an alternative to MTN, given that MTN has really disappointed shareholders over the last year with the problems they've had in Nigeria in particular. But the deal on paper looks great, but they've got one problem, and that's one of their shareholders, Cell Sat, which is the original Black Economic Empowerment shareholder in Cell C. And they have apparently filed a lawsuit. Apparently Cell C and Blue Label Telecoms haven't had sight of the lawsuit yet, so the papers haven't been filed with them. But apparently they're complaining that they weren't consulted on this issue. I think in effect their shareholding is going to be diluted massively as part of this restructuring, and they're very unhappy with it. So it's a bit of a headwind, I'd say, this deal is now encountering a bit of turbulence. We'll have to see how this proceeds. I haven't seen the court papers yet, so I don't know if they're seeking an urgent interdict to stop the process from going ahead. I mean, I think that's normally what would happen in an instance like this. But it's an interesting development, and I think one CelC can ill afford, especially if the court finds in CelSAF's favour, because that then leaves them really up, up a certain creek without a certain paddle.
That's going to be interesting to see play out. Yeah, unfortunately, let's hope it doesn't get to that. I mean, we're all kind of rooting for CelC or any of the kind of third and fourth operators, I guess.
Yes. But anyway. When we started recording the show, by the way, it was raining lightly. It is now pouring down and battering on the tin roof above us, metal roof above us. So I really hope the noise isn't drowning out our voices. But I guess we'll know once we...
Atmospheric,
yeah. Might just have to turn the volume up a bit as you listen to us. Anyway, the other item of news I want to chat about this week was really interesting. Was the cancellation of the SA Connect broadband tender. Now, this goes back... I think the story needs to go back to 2014 when Jacob Zuma said in Parliament that Telkom is the preferred supplier for the rollout of broadband services to underserviced areas. As I lean in towards the mic to speak a bit louder as the noise gets louder and louder here. But CETA, the state IT agency, which was put in charge of the tender for this project, which could be worth up to 1.5 billion rand, they put in charge of this project on the behalf of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. They put out this tender and they solicited 6 responses from the industry, and all 6 were rejected because they didn't meet the basic requirements set out in the tender. Sure. Now, this included companies like Vodacom and Broadband Infraco and others, EOH, and a number of other companies, and Telkom, which was the company that was named by Zuma in Parliament as the preferred supplier, didn't bid.
Oh no.
Even though many people in the industry say, it's alleged, that the tender was written for Telkom. So this is all rather bizarre. No doubt Telkom took a look at the requirements in this thing and said, well, actually, we're a JSE-listed company and we probably shouldn't be doing things that could be of risk to our shareholders. So I'm guessing that that's the reason they didn't tender. But I think it has left CETA a bit red-faced. They've got a bit of egg on their faces over this one. So presumably at some point in the next few months, this tender will be reissued with less onerous requirements. The question is, is it still going to be written, if it was in the first place, with specifications written specifically for Telkom, or is it going to be open to anyone who tenders? But it's an interesting one, and it's going to be worth watching closely.
Yeah, I guess they're going to have to play their cards right now, because the cat's out of the bag, so to speak.
Indeed. Anyway, as this rain gets heavier and heavier, I think we should probably start wrapping up this podcast, lest none of our listeners can actually hear us. Let's quickly run through our regular features of the week. I think I picked the winner this week as NASPERS, because very interesting. They're a big shareholder and a big funder over recent years, I think since 2013 or 2012 even, in Souk, souk.com. Have you heard of them, Rafa?
I have.
A very big electronic retailer, e-retailer, in the Middle East. They're huge.
Yes.
And Amazon is looking to buy them, according to the reports.
Global domination.
And NASPERS, as a large shareholder, along with Tiger Global Management, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the same company that's... the same shareholders that have invested in Takealot.
Yes.
Interestingly enough. They're looking to sell, according to the report on Bloomberg. So it's certainly a winner for NASPERS and for NASPERS shareholders if the deal goes ahead. But what interests me is that, the speculation, could this eventually mean that Amazon's going to approach Takealot?
Interesting.
I'm sure Takealot has been dressing itself up for a sale to a big player like Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
And wouldn't it be wonderful to have Amazon in this market?
Yes. I guess, they've perfected the online retailing experience. If we can tap into that global network of... not only online services like Prime,
yes,
but also the technologies that they drive down the delivery, it would be an amazing thing.
Yes.
I feel sorry for other online retailers if they do come.
Yeah, indeed. Although if they do come here, I tell you, I'll probably spend half my salary every month just on Amazon.
Yeah.
I know I've got friends in the States who buy everything on Amazon. The toilet paper,
yes,
washing
yes.
powder, everything on Amazon.
We can get those cool, what are those dots that you can spray all over your house and press it, you know, and get they water automatically.
Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah. I hate shopping, so, I mean, I waste half my Saturday mornings going to the shops just to buy garbage and I wish someone would deliver to me.
Exactly. You know what you want. You just need to put it on a list and order it semi-regularly.
You know.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to that.
Anyway, our loser, funnily enough, this week is Takealot. For no other reason than that their website fell over this morning and couldn't process orders for quite a considerable amount of time. Come on, guys, you could have predicted this. Build the systems to handle the traffic.
I mean, it's just, it can't be.
This is e-commerce 101.
And they are the biggest player in South Africa at the moment.
Yes.
I mean, they shouldn't. It also does go to show that they obviously underestimated the amount of customers that they would receive or sell, potentially.
Yeah, although apparently it happened last year as well.
Oh, well, then then they're not scaling.
They don't really have an excuse. No. They're not scaling properly. And what's funny enough is that, as far as I recall, their co-CEO, Willem van Biljon, was one of the guys who helped create Amazon's cloud services. So, seriously, guys, maybe you just need to move your back end onto Amazon's cloud and scale it.
Look, it's definitely a machine issue, because when I was browsing the site this morning, also every few pages I went to told me couldn't display them in the page I found.
Yes.
So it's resources, I guess.
Yeah.
I just need better server farms.
Yeah. And in this day and age, seriously, you just scale up.
True.
The traffic comes in, you have automatic scaling.
Yeah, you would imagine that these big players would have it. You know, the machines will detect a certain amount of activity
and open up some more
resources.
I mean, I don't know what their hosting solution looks like. Maybe they're hosting in-house, but maybe they shouldn't be hosting in-house if they are.
If that's the case.
Anyway, this rain is insane. It carries on like this for a couple of hours. We could have some serious floods.
Yes, but it's good for this region. Let's hope we don't get too bad. We just hope we don't get too bad floods, but we desperately need it.
Need to fill up the whole dam.
Yeah.
Which last time I checked was sitting at about 34%.
Sure.
Anyway, let's get on to our picks. What do you got this week, Richard?
So I've been playing. Let me ask you this question. Do you know what a cinemagraph is? Cinemagraph.
I have heard the term, but I don't know what it is.
It's a still photograph with a bit of movement in it. And I've been fascinated by this for quite a while. Now, I'm going to show you some. I'm just showing you a photograph. It's a still photograph, and there's an element that you pick out that is moving. So it's like a GIF, but it's not a GIF. It's a photo with either wind blowing a piece of paper or a car moving down a street. It's just a different expression of a photo versus a video, or the merger of photo between photo and video.
Mm.
Now, I've been playing with this app called Cinemagraph Pro by a company called Pixel for a while now.
Okay.
And it's absolutely phenomenal. The best way, if you are interested in cinemagraphs, if you know what they are and you kind of want to create them, well worth checking out. It's not a cheap consumer-grade application, unfortunately. There is a free version available, but just considering the ease of use and the amount of time that it saves me, you know, I've subscribed to it, and I'm quite happy with what I can do with it.
Okay.
You can go to pixel.com, check it out. There's two pricing models. You can buy it once off for your iOS device for $300.
Yeah.
Or you can do a monthly subscription, and you get the macOS app and your iOS app and some cloud storage at $16 a month, which is the one that I signed up for. And I'm not gonna probably. It's not like my Dropbox account where I'll have it running permanently, but I'm using it at the moment to create some cinemagraphs. And out of all the solutions I've found, this is definitely the best one. And you know, if you're using it on your iPhone, it really makes the process a lot easier. I don't have to use my SLR, then import the footage.
Right.
With the app, I can just basically take the shot, paint out the areas that I want the movement in, and it'll automatically blend the image for me. So everything stays static on the photo that you want to stay static, except for the water, movement of water, or movement of a car, or movement of paper or something.
Mm.
It's my pick for the week. Great product, Cinemagraph. And if you are thinking about registering the URL cinemagraph.co.za today, don't bother, I've already got it. I've had it for a long time. It is mine.
We've been plotting and scheming. Great, I'm going to go and have a look. It looks pretty cool.
Very cool.
Well, my pick this week is a very, very, very expensive gadget. It's called the BMW i3.
Oh, it's a battery pack for your phone.
Yes, indeed. Charge your phone with it. It only costs 650,000 rand. This is the Rex model, Range Extender model that I drove for.
That's the one with the petrol tank in it.
It is, yeah. It's got a very limited petrol tank. It'll take you for about 100 kilometers. But in this country, quite useful where the charging stations are so few and far between. But I wasn't expecting much of the BMW i3, to be honest, when I took delivery of it. I've seen one or two on the roads. They're not very common. I think it's as ugly as sin.
I kind of like it. I think it's cute, ugly.
It grew on me. It grew on me over the week I was driving it. It's certainly a controversial design style. I think if they'd gone for something a little sportier, it probably would have sold better. But my word, what a powerful vehicle. I was blown away.
Instant power when you put your foot down.
Unbelievable. Have you been in one? You've been in one, haven't you?
I haven't driven one. Okay. I haven't driven in one. But I went to the launch when they launched them in South Africa a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And,
I remember that.
Had a look at it. Yeah, and it's a great car. I think it was a great looking car too.
It's lovely. I was just blown away. I mean, I used to drive a hybrid. I sold it a few months ago, Toyota hybrid. But I've never driven a fully electric car before, and what really amazed me was that smooth power all the way up.
Yeah. No gear change, it just goes.
This thing doesn't look like a sports car, but it's got the performance of a sports car. It throws you back in the seat when you hit the accelerator.
Wow. Okay.
Now, that's not how you're supposed to drive this thing, because obviously it's designed to be frugal and it's got a limited mileage, and if you drive it like an idiot, you're probably only going to get 60 or 70 k's.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you drive it frugally, you probably get about 120 to up to 160 is the claim, I think.
Oh, wow. Sure.
Which is not bad. It's not great either.
Not that great, yeah.
So it's a commuter car. In South Africa, I don't think it's a great car for South Africa. I think if you live in Europe, it makes a lot more sense where you don't have to drive huge distances. Mm. But I think if you're rich and you can afford to have a second car, this is a great commuter car.
Yeah.
For driving to work, and it's such a pleasant, relaxing, smooth experience. It's an absolute pleasure to drive in city traffic. If you've got one of these big 4x4s or something like that, Jeeps, for example, which I just bought, they're not great for driving around a city, let's be honest. They're great when you go off-road or you're driving in the countryside and getting some speed up. But in city, they're not great. But electric comes into its own in the city. And my word, I've never had heads turn like I did driving this i3. Everywhere. Wow. I went, literally, people turned their heads on the pavements. Look at this.
And did you have trouble parking, charging it when you're out and about, or didn't you really do that?
I didn't really do that. I just charged at home. I needed an extension cable. You have to buy a fat extension cable, 1.6 amp, I think it is. 16 amps, sorry, yeah. Most of them aren't 16 amps. It's quite a thick cable. To have it charge at home, or you plug it directly into the mains. It charged overnight it takes about 7-8 hours to charge to full.
That's quite long.
I haven't crunched the numbers yet. I still need to speak to BMW about actually how much it costs to charge it from flat. So it'd be interesting to know that number and compare it to.
I recall it wasn't that much more than running a light bulb or something. No, running a computer for those amount of hours.
I need to check the number, but someone told me it's R2.50 to charge it to full, but that seems a bit low.
But
I need to check that figure. But it's a beautiful vehicle. I think it's a little bit overpriced for what it is.
No.
I think if it was around 450 to 500, it would be better priced. 650, I think, you're probably not going to buy it, which is probably why you don't see many around.
You can buy some incredible cars for that price.
For 650, you can buy some beautiful cars, yeah. But it's a lovely vehicle, and the power surprised me. And it's got, certainly the model I drove, all the beautiful BMW add-ons. I think they come as standard, like iDrive and little heads-up display in front of you.
Oh, wow.
It's very, very, very nice car. Only let down, I think, by two things. The lack of charging stations. Oh, you were asking.
You
drive around town. They have them at the BMW dealerships. They have them at Melrose Arch.
Melrose Arch, I saw them, yeah.
And had a meeting at Standard Bank in Rosebank. And I pulled into that fancy new Standard Bank building in Rosebank. I pulled in there. And the guy, I was surprised, the guy at the security guard at the who let me in said, "Oh, do you want to charge your car? There's a charging station."
Oh, that's brilliant.
Fast charging station at Standard Bank. Oh, that's fantastic.
Nice.
I had plenty. I didn't need to charge, but they had it there. So you'd be surprised. I was surprised at how seldom I actually need to charge it up when I'm out and about. I drove to Midrand twice from Randburg. No problems. Still plenty of juice left. On most days you'd be fine.
Yeah.
And then you've got the range extender, which will take you for another 100-120 kilometers.
Which is plenty in city environments.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to go into the country
It's a nice backup.
Too far out. Yeah, it's a nice backup.
Yeah, it's a nice backup.
But you're right. I mean, it is a commuter vehicle, and if you consider all the cars sitting in traffic on the highway every morning, every afternoon, yeah. if they are all electric vehicles. You know, people that drive any amount of distance, you know, between home and work, that's not like a 2-3 hour commute.
Yeah.
This will make a big difference, not only in the pockets of these consumers or commuters, but also in the environment.
Yeah.
But it's coming. I mean, as technology obviously improves and pricing drops and battery technology improves and batteries become cheaper.
But the power, that smooth power you get from an electric vehicle is what blew me away. I didn't realize. I mean, I thought this thing was going to be slow. It's quite the opposite.
Very, very zippy, yeah.
And another fact that blew me away just the other day, and I didn't even know this, Tesla Model S, the original high-end Tesla sports car, is the fastest to 100 kilometers an hour of any vehicle on Earth. Did you
really?
Know
this? No, I didn't know this.
It's mind-blowing.
Fastest production vehicle type.
The fastest production vehicle in the world.
Wow.
And it's electric. 2.6 seconds to 100 kilometers an hour.
I guess it's because they can, I mean, power that you put down to the wheels when you step on the gas, so to speak, is instant.
Yes.
And the torque must be incredibly high.
It's amazing. It's unbelievable. I'm not a car expert, but I mean, technically you can call it torque. If there is torque, but it's a great drive. I look forward to try driving a Tesla one of these days.
Oh, yes.
If the budget permits it, I'd love to buy that new model Tesla that's coming.
Yeah, that's a very desirable car. Mm, yeah.
Beautiful.
But my question is,
I'm now sold on electric.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But how many phone charges can you get off one battery charge?
Probably a couple of 100,000, I guess. Your phone, one thing's for sure, your phone's never going to go. So you just pocket in your lounge and charge your phone.
Yeah, exactly. You got a built-in radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're beautiful.
Beautiful car. I'd even recommend go to a dealership and drive one if you can.
Even
if you've got no plan to drive it, just go test
that's
drive one because it really is something else. I wasn't expecting much and I was blown away.
It'll be interesting to see what Jeremy Clarkson and the boys do on the grand tour with them electric vehicles. I'm sure that is on the agenda for the season.
It must be.
Must be.
Have they ever? Has Tokyo ever reviewed the Tesla? I think they did actually. Oh, they did. I remember Elon Musk complaining about it on.
They
called them a bunch of idiots.
But that was quite a long time ago. That was an early model Tesla.
But I think after that, they may never be getting another Tesla model to drive.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, they are petrol heads. There's not pure ourselves.
Yeah, I know.
But it'll be
especially
if they take on it. Yeah.
Anyway, as the rain starts to get heavier again, I think we should start to wrap up the show. I think the last thing we should need to do is our quiz results. Let me kick them off this week. Our first question was actually a really interesting question. Why is Black Friday called Black Friday? And this is from Wikipedia. In the early 1950s, in Philadelphia and Rochester in the U.S., the terms Black Friday and Black Saturday came to be used by the police in those cities to describe the crowds and traffic congestion accompanying the start of the Christmas shopping season. But the phrase Black Friday only gained national attention in the early 1980s.
And in South Africa in 2016.
Yes, indeed.
The second question. Who is a disgruntled shareholder in Cell C that has reportedly filed paper to try and stop their restructuring at the mobile operator? The answer, CellSaf.
Our third question this week. Liquid Telecom, which is in the throes of buying Neotel, has raised how much money in a syndicated loan? And the answer is $300 million, or about 4.3 billion rand.
The fourth question. The first episode of Amazon Prime's video, The Grand Tour, was set in the US. Where is the location for the second episode? And it is Johannesburg. I'm looking forward to that episode.
Broadcasting tonight in the US. And coming to whichever network you want tonight or tomorrow for Amazon Video Prime officially next month. And our last question, believe it or not, is this quote. Who said this? Okay, but don't worry, there's plenty else this week. I'm reading the wrong thing, Rafa. Let me start again. Let me start this again. I've scrolled down and lost my place. Who said this week? We were focused because when you read the Bible, old people didn't believe that Jesus Christ was there to save them. I'm here to save South Africa, and I have already demonstrated that I can save South Africa. That was none other than the delusional man who clearly has a God complex, SABC executive. Who else? The one and only Claudie Motsoeneng. And that's our show for this week. Cool.
Yeah.
We hope we hope you can hear it with this racket coming down in the rain, but we need it. It's easing off a bit now.
Yeah. It's still going to be a beautiful week. I'm going to do some mountain biking in this mud. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, it's going
to
be great. I'm doing the final in the Spur trail running series this Sunday.
Oh, nice.
At Leeuwenkloof in Magaliesberg.
Oh, I love that venue. It's by the IRI training facility. We spend a lot of time there with the motorbikers. It's a motorbike training facility.
You've been through the cave.
No, I haven't been up there, but I've been around most of the places.
Yeah.
Great place to fly a drone.
It's a stunning area, and midway through the run, there's a cave, and it's not a small one.
Yes.
It's probably about 400 meters deep, and you run right through it, and it makes for a good run. Anyway, that's our weekends. I hope you guys have a great weekend, too. As always, if you've got any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is info@techcentral.co.za. Until next time, from Richard and myself, cheers.
Ciao.